I write novels mainly, and also plays.
I'm a poet. I often perform my work.
I'm a writer, mostly in the fields of science fiction, fantasy, and horror.
This is World Words from the British Council, a 10-part series about contemporary British literature.
I've been writing for over 20 years, and I've written over 50 books.
In each programme, we meet a writer and discuss one of their poems or novels.
I'm a poet and a novelist. The bit I'm going to read from here is a part of a novel called...
Here's Karen Brodie with World Words.
In today's programme, we feature a poem that also seems to tell a story, a rather strange and magical story about a scorpion. We meet the poet and hear some reactions to her poem from a group of international students. I hope you'll also enjoy this poem and compare your own interpretation to that of the students. It's time to meet my guest and learn a little about her.
Hi, my name's Francesca Beard. I'm a poet. I often perform my work to audiences and I live in London. I was born in Malaysia, where sometimes we had scorpions in the garden and sometimes they came into the house. I'm now going to read you a poem of mine called Baby Scorpion, and I wrote it quite a long time ago when I was first starting out to become a poet.
As we hear Francesca Beard reading her poem, listen out for the images she uses, as well as the story she tells.
Baby Scorpion. The man put a log on the fire to keep his sweetheart warm. Out of the bark crawled a baby scorpion. Long as her little toe, shiny like her hair, it ran, faster than fire, along the burning wood. "It's a black snowflake," she said, and felt pity for its strange symmetry. It was a knight in black armour on his tiny black charger galloping through a forest of red thorn. It would not step out onto the bridge of kindling, nor would it tuck in the curved lance of its spine. It would not be saved. The baby scorpion tumbled off into the ash. He said, "We'll never find it." Their rescue was failing. She thought of their warm bed with its soft, dark corners. She thought of all the other insects in the garden. "When it grows up, it will not be small," she thought. "When it grows up, it will be an ugly, dangerous thing." "Find it and kill it. Make sure it's dead," she said to her love. He had green eyes and white teeth. He found it and killed it. "Look, it's dead now." She went to look at a smudge on the stone. Out of this stain rose a ghost, shaped like a scorpion, but ill-defined. The girl was afraid. She said, "I am young and beautiful amongst my own kind. I will not harm you unless frightened. If there is no alternative, I will kill myself. I do not want death forced upon me. I will come to meet it in all my wildness." Then she closed her eyes as if to disappear. The ghost scorpion was torn between admiration, pity, fear, and loathing. Finally, it was practical. It dispatched the girl swiftly and afterwards her lover, left alone.
This is World Words from the British Council.
Consumed itself.
And we just heard the poem
died.
Baby Scorpion, read by poet Francesca Beard. A group of international students in Botswana studied this poem and discussed many aspects, the language, the images, and what they liked about it. But they weren't in agreement about what actually happens. Baby Scorpion tells a story that starts with a man putting a log on a fire.
The man put a log on the fire to keep his sweetheart warm. Out of the bark crawled a baby scorpion.
When we first meet the baby scorpion, the man and the girl feel sympathy for it as it stumbles around in the fire. But later they begin to fear it and the girl asks the man to kill it. but the scorpion gets its revenge.
Out of this stain rose a ghost, shaped like a scorpion, but ill-defined.
The poem ends with the man and his sweetheart dispatched. They've been killed by the baby scorpion's ghost.
It dispatched the girl swiftly, and afterwards her lover. Left alone, the fire consumed itself and died.
It's like a circle. In the beginning, the fire's already started, and he's putting a log to keep it going, to keep the flames of their love maybe going. And then at the end, they die, the scorpion's dead, the fire consumes itself and dies, and with them dies their love.
That student responded to the symmetry in the poem. It begins with the lighting of a fire and ends with it dying. Others discuss the characters of the woman and the man.
I think the writer, she really makes the character of the woman, the girlfriend, seem extremely vulnerable or threatened. And she's trying to convince herself that it's right to kill this animal. As the poem goes on, she says, it will not be small, she thought. It will be ugly and dangerous. She's trying to convince herself that it is the right thing to kill the scorpion, even though deep down, I don't think she wants to.
This man loves this female character. And then out of his love came this deep, dark thing, this baby scorpion. Maybe he was jealous, like the green. Mm-hmm. He was envious of something. And this jealousy ended up consuming them.
What was your interpretation? I asked Francesca what originally inspired her to write this poem.
Baby Scorpion was inspired by an actual experience of mine when I saw a baby scorpion, and I found it very, very beautiful, but I found it also quite scary. And I do have experience of scorpions. I was born in Malaysia and we had scorpions there. There were scorpions in the jungle and sometimes they came into the house.
And how did you react to the scorpions in your house?
Most scorpions don't kill you, but they do have a nasty sting when they're scared. They are poisonous. So I try to avoid them, but I'm afraid to say that I have killed a scorpion before.
You're listening to World Words, a radio series from the British Council.
This is no ordinary scorpion. In the poem, the woman actually speaks to it. I asked Francesca about the use of dialogue in the poem.
I chose to include dialogue because I much prefer to read stories or listen to stories that show me things rather than tell me things, where people act and do things in front of my eyes. I didn't want to tell people what was happening. I wanted it to happen in the story because although it is a poem, it's also a story for me.
The poem is full of contrasts and surprises and lots of twists and turns. Can you pick out a few of the images that you've used and some of the language you've used to convey these surprises and what effect you think it has on the reader?
One of the first images, I suppose, is the image of a black snowflake. And I chose that because it's very contrasty because usually a snowflake, I think you'd think of as white. And of course, a scorpion is black. But the snowflake, when you look at it under a microscope, it has lots of angles and it's very unique. So I wanted to suggest that the scorpion was very unique and beautiful and delicate.
Other images in the poem seem to come from folk tales. For example, the knight on a charger, which is a soldier on a horse, travelling through the flames of the fire, which is like a forest of red thorn bushes.
It was a knight in black armour on his tiny black charger, galloping through a forest of red thorn. I want to suggest that the scorpion was noble. The knight is galloping through the forest of red thorn, and I wanted to use that because it reminded me of the fairy tale, Sleeping Beauty, when the hero, the prince, is trying to cut through the huge rose bushes with all the thorns in them. And it reminded me of the fire.
You've mentioned knights and fairy tales. There's lots of different storytelling traditions here. How have these contributed to the overall effect of the poem?
I'm really glad that you noticed the references to fairy tales and folk tales. When I wrote the poem, I really wanted it to have an atmosphere, a quality of a very old story, the kind of story that might be in a children's book. Like in the European tradition, some of the stories that we have are Cinderella, although I think that originally comes from China, or Sleeping Beauty, which is a French story, I think, originally. And in African traditions, I know there's a lot of the stories of Anansi, who's a spider, I think. My children learn that at school. So the quality of having animals talking to people or interacting with people comes from folk tales and fairy tales. And the folk tales that I really love, they seem to have a lesson or a moral to them, which sometimes you can't quite decide what that is. So like with Little Red Riding Hood, is the moral of the story that I suppose it's that you have to be careful walking through the wood. But it could be, don't go and visit your grandmother and bring her food.
At first, the man and woman want to rescue the tiny scorpion, but then they change their minds and seem to fear it. So is there a moral to this story? When I read the poem, I thought they shouldn't have killed the baby scorpion, the black snowflake. It seemed so innocent. The students felt the same way.
Before, when I would look at an ant or something, I'd just be like, it's just an ant. I'm just going to walk past it, whether I step on it or not. Or if I see a spider in the wall, even if it's not doing anything to me, I'd just be like, oh, there's a spider, I should kill it. But now, after reading this, I will start to think twice before I want to kill them.
I'd just like to commend the writer on putting across such a different view of scorpions. I'm asking, was that purposely done? Did she want us to feel sympathy or empathy towards the scorpion, or was that just how it ended up?
Some of the students who have been reading your poem have said that this has made them feel more sympathetic towards scorpions and spiders and other creatures like that. Was this an intention of yours when you wrote the poem?
I'm glad that some people, when they hear the poem, feel more sympathetic to scorpions. I think the reason I wrote it was because I felt scared of scorpions, even though I was so much bigger than them. And I felt that this was quite unfair, that I wanted to kill them or kind of get them away from me, when actually they were so tiny and I was much more dangerous to them than they were to me.
So what would the moral be here?
The moral is, just because something is very, very different from you doesn't mean that A, it doesn't have the same feelings as you, and B, that you should be mean to it.
So, as in every good folk tale, there is a moral to the story. Maybe. We're near the end of today's edition of World Words from the British Council. I'd like to thank Francesca for sharing her poem and her thoughts with us. And also my thanks to the international students in Botswana. I hope you enjoyed that poem. And if you'd like to look up Francesca's work, her name is spelt FRANCESCA and Beard, BEARD. I leave you with another chance to listen to the last few verses of Baby Scorpion once more.
Then she closed her eyes as if to disappear. The ghost scorpion was torn between admiration, pity, fear, and loathing. Finally, it was practical. It dispatched the girl swiftly, and afterwards her lover. Left alone, the fire consumed itself and died.
That was World Words with Karen Brodie. For a copy of that poem and more information, go to the British Council's website. The address is www.britishcouncil.org/literature.